Well, Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now, just as a review, last week we looked at the works of the flesh. And that was an ugly list, wasn't it? I was so glad to get past that. Like I said, you feel like you need a shower after you've studied that list for a few hours. This week we turn to the fruit of the Spirit, a much better list to be looking at. And we could call this section a section that provides evidence of what a Spirit-filled life looks like. Or we could say what a life looks like when you're walking in the Spirit. And notice there's a key word here. These characteristics are described as fruit, not works. Now, that's a very important thing, isn't it? It's a very important difference between the two lists. The works of the flesh, in other words, something we produce, are the fruit of the Spirit, something that is naturally produced by the Spirit. We can't produce these things. Only the Spirit can produce them, and they are produced when we walk closely with God and when we are living that Spirit-filled life. But fruit is naturally produced. You never see a branch striving, do you? A branch that's connected to the vine. You never see a branch striving, I've got to push out this fruit. What you see is fruit naturally being produced when that branch remains connected to the vine. So many Christians don't understand this. And I think it's essential that we look at this, because if you don't understand this, you know what's going to happen? It's going to result in great frustration in your life, because you're going to work so hard trying to produce what only the Holy Spirit can produce. You'll be like the good old boy who bought a new chainsaw. He took it home, but he brought it back a few days later and said, this thing is absolutely useless. I'm cutting less wood than I was before with the old handsaw. And the salesman said, that's odd. This is our best model. And he picked up the chainsaw and he pulled the cord. And vroom. The good old boy said, what's that sound? He never started it up. He was sawing under his own power. All that power available, yet he's sawing with his own power. And that is so true with so many Christians. We have the power in us that created the universe. We have the power in us that raised Jesus from the dead. But we're still sawing away in our own strength. And it's frustrating. And you just wear yourself out. Listen, God has a much better plan for you. He doesn't want you to live that way, frustrated and defeated, getting so weary that Christianity just seems like such a burden. His desire is that your life would be characterized by joy and peace and love and power, gentleness and kindness and self-control. He wants our life to be characterized by a Christ-likeness. That's what that is. When you look at the list in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, that's just saying that's what Jesus is like. That's what Christ-likeness looks like. And the Holy Spirit wants to produce that in our lives. God wants us to live like His Son. That's Romans 8, 29, isn't it? He's predestined us to be conformed into the image of His Son. And He has given us the Holy Spirit so that that can take place. So that we can live like that, that abundant, exciting, spiritual life. John 7, 37 through 39 says this. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit. That's interesting. The people in those days there in Palestine, they would be used to well water. And you know what well water was like? It was stagnant and unappealing. But stream water was pure and refreshing. And what a picture Jesus paints there of the different kinds of spiritual life we can live. If we're living in our own power, what's going to happen? Our life's going to be stagnant and unappealing. But if we live our life through the power of the Spirit, there's going to be a freshness there. It's going to be alive. It's going to be vibrant. It's going to be a life filled up with God and all that that means. So I think this is a very important study, don't you? That we look at what walking in the Spirit really means. Well, we look at what being filled with the Spirit really means. And so I'm going to take three studies on this. We've slowed down again now here in Galatians. I'm going to use Galatians 5, 22 and 23 as a jumping off point. And this week we're going to look at being filled with the Spirit. Next time we'll look at what I call living a life as a branch. That's John 15, where being attached to Jesus and His life flowing into us, that abiding life, is a Spirit-filled life. And then we'll look at the fruit of the Spirit the week after that. So let's see what we're going to see tonight. We're going to break this up in our look at being filled with the Spirit into three things. Why we need to be filled with the Spirit, what the Spirit-filled life is, and how to be filled with the Spirit. So let's go to our first one. Why we need to be filled with the Spirit. Turn over to Ephesians 5:18. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Another translation puts it this way, "Don't get drunk on wine, which leads to wild living. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." So why do we need to be filled with the Spirit? I've got three reasons why this command comes to us. And it is a command, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. Why does God command us to be filled with the Spirit? Well, the first reason is because the standards of Christianity are beyond us. We need to be filled with the Spirit because we'll never be able to live out Christianity, genuine Christianity, if we aren't. True Christianity is impossible. You've got to see this. It is impossible to live out in our own strength. That ability to love when you've been abused, to do good to those who have wronged you, that ability to forgive others as Christ has forgiven us, and to have peace in times of trouble and joy in times of trial. To be able to be self-controlled in times of great temptation and to be consistently patient, kind, and gentle with others, and on and on. You're not going to be able to do that in your own strength, are you? There is no way you can live out a biblical lifestyle in your own strength. True Christianity is far beyond mere human ability. And that's at every point. Every point of Christianity is beyond us when you look at what the Bible says. And every point of Christianity, therefore, is going to take absolute dependence upon God. It's going to take walking in the Spirit if we want to walk that way. And we must be careful not to reduce Christianity down to something that we can do. And that is happening all the time, isn't it? We simply take Christianity and reduce it down to what we can do in our own strength. And you know what that is? That's not Christianity. That's religion. True Christianity says, do this, and it raises the bar above what we can do, and then says the only way to get up there is to walk in the Spirit's power, dependent upon Him. But I command you to do that. That's true Christianity. So to live out a genuine biblical Christianity is going to take God's power. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit. Secondly, because the enemy that stands against us is too great. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." So our struggle is not against mere flesh and blood. We may be able to win the struggle if it was just against men and women, but our struggle is against the powers of hell. And we must not underestimate this. We are no match for the devil and the demons, are we? No match at all. Therefore, Ephesians continues on in the next verse in Ephesians 6:13. It says, therefore, when you see a therefore, you always ask what? What is it therefore? And it always points back. It's a bridge word that connects back to what's gone on before. And so Paul says, because you're wrestling not with flesh and blood, but because you're wrestling against these spiritual powers, these demonic forces, therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist. Because that's who you're struggling against. You're going to need armor that is fashioned by God Himself and empowered by the Spirit if you're going to stand. And then at the end of this section, he finishes with this. Ephesians 6:18, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit." Now, what does that mean? That means that this armor is going to be empowered by absolute dependence upon God through the Spirit. And so we see we're wrestling against these spiritual forces and we need God's armor, empowered by the Spirit, and we need dependence upon the Spirit through prayer. That's the Spirit-filled life, isn't it? Depending upon the Spirit to be able to resist these demonic forces. So why do we need to be Spirit-filled? Because the standards are too high, and because the enemy that stands against us is too strong. One more. Because the flesh that resides within us is too persistent. That's Romans 7:21. He says, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me." We saw this last week. We carry around this unredeemed flesh that still hates God, that still hates holy things, and that still loves the world. And Paul says, this flesh in us, this sinful nature we still carry around, resist every good thing that we want to do. Whether that good thing would be for our own growth, things like Bible study, prayer, fellowship, or whether that be good in our service unto God. And so we have this internal enemy that is constantly resisting everything good that we want to do in the spiritual realm. So we have this lofty standard that we cannot hit through our own strength. We have these powerful enemies, the flesh and the demonic hordes, that we cannot resist in our own strength. And God says, you must walk in the Spirit, must be filled with the Spirit if you are going to stand against those kind of forces and if you're going to live the kind of life you've been called to live. That's why it's necessary to live like Christ did here on earth. And that's the standard. 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. Get that? Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. That is going to take power beyond ourselves, isn't it? It's going to take the Spirit's power. Now, the good news is this. God has done what is necessary for us to live like that, to live like Jesus, you know, a growing Christ-likeness, that's sanctification here on earth, to live like Him and to have victory over the demonic forces, to have victory over the flesh, not perfection, but to have a consistent victory and to be able to hit that standard, not perfectly, but getting closer and closer and closer to it through sanctification. God has given us what we need to be growing towards all that. And He has given us the Holy Spirit to live in us. And His ministry is to enable us to do that which is impossible on our own. So let's look at the next thing. We've seen why we need to be filled with the Spirit. Let's define the Spirit-filled life. And we'll look at this more next week, but I just want to touch on it today to get us thinking correctly. And we need to see this because when you hear people talking about the Spirit-filled life, well, you hear a lot of different things, and some of it is very mystical. And so we want to get this correct in our thinking right off the bat here. Ephesians 5:18 gives us a great definition of what the Spirit-filled life is. And look at that again. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation or debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit." What that tells us is this. The Spirit-filled life is a Spirit-dominated life. A Spirit-dominated life. We see that in the comparison Paul chooses. Paul chooses to compare it with drunkenness. Now, what's he saying there? Well, to get drunk is more than just a drink, isn't it? To be drunk is to be under the control and domination of alcohol, to be under the influence of alcohol. And to be filled with the Spirit is more than just having the Spirit in you. It means to be under the influence of the Spirit. So just as the drunkard is dominated and controlled by wine, the Spirit-filled believer is dominated and controlled by the Spirit. So that's a good definition of what being Spirit-filled really is. So the Spirit-filled life is a Spirit-dominated life. Next thing, the Spirit-filled life is an extremely practical life, an extremely practical life. And we need to see this to remove, like I said, the mysticism that kind of revolves around this subject. I've heard people say this about the Spirit-filled life. Well, you'll know you're Spirit-filled when you start speaking in tongues. I know I was Spirit-filled because I got shivers. I got tingles. I got chills. You know what? That doesn't mean anything as far as being Spirit-filled goes. You can manifest all kinds of spiritual gifts and still not be Spirit-filled. You know that? You see that in the church in Corinth. Paul writes to the church in Corinth and he calls them carnal. Yet at the same time, he talks about how when they gathered together, it was just a gift explosion in that church. So you have this church that is exercising all of these spiritual gifts. But Paul says, you know what? You're carnal. And so exercising the spiritual gifts doesn't mean you're spirit-filled. What is the primary purpose then of being spirit-filled? The primary purpose of the spirit-filled life is not to exercise tongues or this or that. The primary purpose of the spirit-filled life is to enable you to live like Christ. That's it. The primary way others will notice this happening, or notice that this is happening, that you are a spirit-filled believer, is that they'll see the characteristics of Christ-likeness being formed in you. 1 John 4:17 says, "In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like Him." In this world we are like Him. People see us becoming more and more like Him. That is the evidence of being a spirit-filled believer. And that's what we see, like I said, in Galatians 5:22 and 23. There's nothing mystical about that at all. That is the evidence of being spirit-filled, and it is all the characteristics of Jesus. I'm growing in love. I'm growing in joy. I'm growing in peace and kindness and gentleness and self-control and patience. I'm becoming more and more like Him. So that is the primary purpose of being spirit-filled, is to walk like Jesus in this world to glorify God the Father. Now, where is that going to happen primarily? Is that going to happen primarily in a worship service? No. That is going to happen primarily out in the world, because you're not at church most of the time, are you? But if you're a spirit-filled believer, you're going to be out in the workplace, at school, in your home, in your neighborhood. And that is where primarily you're going to see this whole spirit-filled life being lived out. It's seen in your relationships, how you treat your spouse, parent your child, how you respond to your co-workers and neighbors, all of those kind of things. And so we don't relegate being spirit-filled to a worship service where we got chills and raised our hand and said, that was awesome. The spirit-filled life is a life that's lived at street level, out there in the neighborhoods, out there in your workplace, as you exhibit the characteristics of Jesus Christ. So we've seen why we need to be filled with the Spirit, because the standards of Christianity are so high that we can't live them out in our own strength. And because the enemy within and without are so strong that we'll never be able to resist in our own strength. We've seen the spirit-filled life is a life that is a spirit-dominated life. And we've seen what the primary purpose of being spirit-filled is. It is to enable us to live a Christ-like life, not at that street level where we live our life day after day after day. Now, the next thing we need to see is our part in this. We're commanded to be spirit-filled. And therefore, we must have a responsibility to it. It's obviously a choice that we can make. And so what is our responsibility in being spirit-filled? Our responsibility in the spirit-filled life. First one is this. You've got to yield yourself to Him. Right? We've seen that the spirit-filled life is a life that is controlled and dominated by the Spirit. And so, therefore, if it is a spirit-dominated life, we are going to have to yield ourselves to the Spirit. Romans 12:1 says this, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." See, that's our part, isn't it? We offer our bodies as living sacrifices. What is that a picture of? That's a picture of the Old Testament sacrifice that was completely consumed by the flames. We offer our bodies in full surrender then. What we see, where we go, what we say, all of those kind of things, what we do. You say, God, I am yours. I offer myself to you to please you. And the primary place where we see what we're supposed to do is the Scriptures. Then the spirit-filled life is a response to the Scriptures, submitting to what we see there as the Spirit opens the Scriptures up to us. So we need to yield ourselves to His control and not fight His control, not fight His domination. He wants to dominate us, and we let Him. That's the spirit-filled life. We surrender to that. The command to be Spirit-filled, you also need to see this, is in the present tense. What that means is it's a repeated event. Because it's not something where I know I got Spirit-filled 10 years ago, so I'm still Spirit-filled. No, what that is saying, because it's a present tense, because it's in the present tense, is it means that it is a choice to yield to His control day by day. Day after day after day. It's a moment-by-moment choice to be Spirit-filled. Each choice will determine whether you remain Spirit-filled or not. Let me give you an example of how that would work. You pick up your Bible, right, and you're reading along, and the Spirit points out an area of sin. Now you have a choice, don't you? What am I going to do with that? To respond correctly is to confess it and repent and forsake it. And if you do that, you'll remain Spirit-filled, won't you? Spirit's still what? Controlling you. The Spirit's still dominating you. But if you know the Spirit is talking to you and He's pointing out an area of sin and you reject that conviction and you cling to that sin, are you still Spirit-controlled? Well, you're not, are you? You're now flesh-dominated and flesh-controlled instead. So you're no longer walking in a life that we could say is a Spirit-filled, Spirit-dominated, Spirit-controlled life. Your flesh has now taken over. You've become filled with self, under self's control instead of the Spirit, and you will begin to walk in your own power, and you'll begin to suffer failure because you grieve the Spirit. What happens when we grieve the Spirit? Well, when we grieve the Spirit, He doesn't leave us and we don't lose our salvation. But what He does is He pulls back His influence and His power, and He lets us walk in our own strength to suffer defeat, to suffer frustration, so that we finally come to our senses and say, I'm sick of this. I need Your power again. And when we get to that place and we repent and forsake our sin, then we become Spirit-filled again. But you see, it is a moment-by-moment decision. A moment-by-moment choice. Am I going to remain walking in the Spirit, or am I going to allow my flesh to dominate me and control me instead? But see, the Spirit and you can't be in control at the same time. It's one or the other, isn't it? So you must hand over the ownership of your life on a moment-by-moment basis to follow Him in any way He leads and to be willing to forsake anything that isn't pleasing to Him. This may be places we go, people we hang around, entertainment we partake of. And now the tragic thing is, when you teach something like this, you end up losing some people. Right there, I might have lost some people who came in here and thought, oh, the Spirit-filled life, I'm so excited. And now you've heard about surrender, and it's not so exciting anymore, is it? You know what? I've got a way for you to become extremely rich in today's church age. You've got to write a book and just title it this: How to Walk in the Spirit While Fulfilling the Lust of the Flesh. I guarantee you that will be a number one seller. You agree? Big time. So many want it easy. So many want it kind of a magical sort of thing. You know what? Not surrender, Pastor. I want to come up after the service and I want you to pray for me and pray that the Spirit will fill me. And just do it that way, okay? I can't do it that way. Spirit-filled life takes surrender. It takes submission to His control. There's no shortcuts to this. When we refuse to do this, we trade in a life that is likened to streams of living water, which is appealing, exhilarating, fresh, and exciting. A life with God in it, so filling us that we can't contain Him. That's what Jesus was saying, right? Streams of living water bursting out. And we trade that in for a life that is stagnant, unappealing, lifeless, and cold. A life that has so little of God in it, so little of His touch upon it. And listen, I don't want that, do you? That's no way to live your Christianity out. I want all of God that I can get my hands on. I want Him filling my life. I want Him exciting my life and thrilling my life. How foolish it is when you think about it not to yield to Him. Who loves you more than He does? Who knows what is best for you more than He does? And who desires more than Him to bring about what is best for you in your life? Listen, when you surrender to Him, you surrender to love. When you push Him back and surrender to your flesh, you're surrendering to a monster. You don't want that. You want to surrender to love that was great enough to go to a cross. You can trust Him, can't you? You can trust your Father. He wants what is best for you. He is the only one in this world that always wants what's best for you and who always knows what's best for you. And Romans 12:1-2 again, Romans 12:1, offer your body as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:2 then ends with this, so that you may know what His good, perfect, and pleasing will is. Isn't that good? When we offer ourselves to Him, we discover what? That His will is good, perfect, and pleasing. It may not seem like it when you first step into His will. You may seem, this is hard. But always in the end, you go, oh Lord, You knew what You were doing. And it was good, it was perfect, and it is pleasing. Thank You for what You're doing in my life. So, we have yield to Him completely. Next one is depend upon Him daily. Now, there are three things we can depend upon when it comes to the Spirit. First of all, that the Holy Spirit lives within me. If I'm a believer, He's there, isn't He? Secondly, that the Holy Spirit has brought the life of Christ to me. And here's the one we want to see is the third one. I want to spend some time here. Thirdly, that the Holy Spirit is willing to produce the life of Christ through me. That's important. Regardless of what situation I find myself facing, whether I need patience and gentleness with somebody I'm dealing with, whether I need Christ's peace in a storm that has come into my life, or His power in a temptation that I'm facing, the Holy Spirit is in me, and He is willing to live out the life of Christ through me in that situation so that I can handle that situation victoriously. That's illustrated in the walk of Paul the Apostle. Go over to Galatians 2:20. I love this verse. We kind of went through this quickly when we were in Galatians 2. One of these days, I want to take this verse and just pull it apart and spend a whole night just looking at this verse, because this is a stunning verse. There are some verses in the Scriptures where you look at and go, you know, I could spend the rest of my life, I think, trying to mine out the depths of this verse and never completely exhaust it. Galatians 2:20. This is what Paul says. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That is so good. He says, I don't live my spirituality out in my own power any longer. Christ has come to live in me by the Spirit. It is now Him who is living His life through me by the Spirit. And the way I become a beneficiary of all that is by faith, depending upon Him to do that. Depending upon the Spirit to live the life of Christ out through Him. Listen, the whole Christian life is one of faith, isn't it? We walk from faith to faith, the Scriptures say. Not only depending upon God to save us by faith, but also depending upon God to help us live out the saved life by faith. As I enter my day at work, at home, at school, in my family, as I interact with co-workers and friends and neighbors, as I face trouble and trial, success or failure, listen, as a believer, I have this confidence that no matter what comes into my life, dwelling within me is this helper and this enabler who is there and who is willing at any moment to live the life of Christ through me at that time. And that life is sufficient to successfully meet anything that I'm facing. Now, let me ask you this. What are you facing right now? What is tyrannizing you? What is defeating you? God has provided all you need to be able to go through that victoriously. Philippians 4:13 says this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. How does He strengthen us? Through the Spirit that is placed within our life. You can't do it in your own strength, but you can do it in His. Like David with Goliath. I love this. 1 Samuel 17:45-46 says this. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me. I like that. David says, you may be too big for me, but you're not too big for God. And I come against you in His strength, not my own. And because I'm coming against you in His strength, you are in trouble. Listen, we all have giants in our lives, don't we? Giants of emotions, giants of circumstances, giants that have been defeating us. But God has provided all you need to overcome this. But until you start facing those giants in His strength rather than in your own, they're going to keep beating you up day after day after day. But you don't have to face them in your own strength. You can face them in the power of God through the enabling of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now let's work this out. I want to make sure you get this because it is so important. How do we do that? Walking by faith and dependence day by day. Well, begin your day with a fresh surrender to Him. Wake up and say, Lord, I yield my life to You. Today I am going to depend upon You at every point for Your empowering to live out my spirituality. I just give myself to You. I'm going to depend upon You. I mean, how many of us do that? Well, we wake up before we enter into our day, really, we're saying, God, today I am going to depend upon You all day long. Everything that comes into my life, Lord, I am going to see that through You. And I'm going to depend upon You to enable me to be able to live successfully through that, to live like Jesus in that moment. That's Spirit-filled living, to live like Jesus in that moment. That's what the Spirit wants to do in your life. Then you enter your day by faith, knowing that the Holy Spirit is in you and depending upon His willingness to live that life of Christ out through you. When you face trouble, trial, temptation, face it by faith. Turn quickly to the Spirit. Say this, Holy Spirit, I can't handle this situation in my own strength, but You never expected me to. I thank You right now that You are in me and You are willing to produce the life of Christ through me. So I depend upon You right now to help me to have His love or to have His peace. Or to have His joy. Live His joy through me right now. Live His peace through me right now. Live His love through me right now. Live His gentleness through me right now. I depend upon You right now to do that. And I thank You that that is Your ministry. We need to establish the habit of immediately trusting in the Spirit to help. That is a habit that we need to have. Example, something comes into your life that causes you anxiety. What are you going to do with that? Try to fight it through your own strength? Or will you immediately turn to the Spirit and say, Jesus wasn't anxious. Holy Spirit, live out His peace in my life right now. I depend upon You to do that. And You've commanded me not to be anxious about anything. Enable me to live that Scripture out right now. And I thank You that that's what You want to do. I praise You that I can live this out. Like Jesus did. Jesus wasn't anxious about anything. And He wants us to have His peace. What did He say to His disciples? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. So we choose to live like Jesus. We choose to obey the Scriptures. And we depend upon the Holy Spirit absolutely to enable that choice. To be able to do it. Because that's one of the things where we're falling down, brothers and sisters. We are being told all the time, live out the Bible. Get the Scriptures, memorize them, and live them out. Listen, you can't in your own strength. Do you know that? But you can in the strength of the Spirit given to you. The Spirit-filled life. Where I'd say, here is my choice. I am going to live this Scripture out. And I depend upon You to enable me to do that. And so you step into that obedience by faith, depending upon the Spirit to enable you to live out the Scriptures. But if you just take the Bible and try to live it out in your own strength, it's never going to happen. You need the power of the Spirit. And this is when Christianity becomes so rich, so alive, when it has so much of God in it, as the Spirit on a daily basis is bringing Christ to us and living Christ's life through us. Producing His character and living out His victory. Listen, this is amazing. You guys have to see this. This is amazing. The Bible tells us that we can have Christ's peace, His joy, His love. That's what Christ-likeness is, right? And then God has promised us, I've given you the Holy Spirit so that you can live all that out. I want you to live like my Son. I want you to have His peace. If you were going to have anybody's peace, who would it be? Well, it would be Jesus, wouldn't it? His joy, His love, His kindness, His gentleness, His self-control. When we start to see that happening in our life, the Spirit moving in us like that, that is when Christianity becomes exciting. That is when Christianity becomes what it's meant to be. Something that is otherworldly. Something that's beyond religion. Beyond something that we can just do in our own strength. So, let's close this up. Are you tired of the mediocrity that living in your own strength produces? I'm sure there are some people here tonight that would say, yes, I am. I'm tired of it. I know that Christianity offers so much more than I'm experiencing. You know what happens is we try to live Christianity out in our own strength and we fail and we fail and we fail and eventually we settle. We settle for just doing the best we can do. And here's the problem. The best we can do isn't very good. And the best we can do leaves us frustrated, miserable. You need a power that is greater than your own to live the kind of life you know is possible that you see in the Scriptures. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Why? Well, because the standards of true Christianity are too high. You're never going to live out the life you see in the Scriptures in your own strength. And because the enemies within and without are too great. And they're going to hold you back from being able to live out that life. And you're going to remain frustrated. Therefore, because of that, we are commanded to be Spirit-filled. For to live in our own power is to suffer regular defeat. It is to live a life that doesn't bring God glory. And God wants us to be like His Son. God wants our lives to bring Him glory. And God wants us to be excited about our Christianity. And so God commands us, be Spirit-filled. So all of those things can happen. And our responsibility to be Spirit-filled, what do? Okay, I see the command. I'm to be Spirit-filled. What is my part in this? Well, my part is to yield to the Spirit's control and to depend daily upon the Spirit's willingness to live the life of Christ out through me. The results of the Spirit-filled life is this, living and responding like Christ in the various things we face day to day. This means we will experience an open channel with God, really, as the Spirit continues to pour Christ through us. That's what I want. I'm not living like that all the time, but I want that. I want the Spirit pouring that beautiful life of Christ through me out to others, don't you? That's when it gets exciting. That means we're living with a fresh touch of God upon our life, doesn't it? The Spirit-filled life brings God into your life, and you have that constant, fresh touch of God in your life. God alive in your life. The alternative is for you to remain in control of your own life. That can only lead to a stagnant, stale, unappealing kind of life that just frustrates you, bores you, a life that lacks joy, peace, and victory. All I've got to say to that is, no thanks. I mean, I hope you feel that way. No thanks. That's not what I want as a Christian. I want to be like Christ. I want to have His touch upon my life. I want to live that Spirit-filled life that is surrendered to Him, that is an open channel for God to pour Himself through me to others. God help. So that's a quick look at the Spirit-filled life. Next week, we'll look at life as a branch. And if you want to see what's going on there, read ahead in John 15, the abiding life. And so that'll be an interesting study. Let's pray. Father, I pray that You would help us all to surrender to You. Lord, just that beautiful submission to Your love, Your goodness, and Your kindness, Your wisdom. Lord, help us not to hold anything back and reject You when You speak to us about things in our life that need to change. Help us to see and remember that Your will is always good, pleasing, and perfect. And so, Lord, we just come to You and we surrender afresh. We come to You, we want Your life in us, want Your power in us, want the life of Christ to flow through us to others. And Father, we're tired of mediocrity. We're tired of life that is stagnant and unappealing when there is so much more available. Don't let us settle, God. Don't let us settle for a life that we can do in our own strength. It's mere religion. But help us to see what You want from us and help us to depend upon You in a daily manner to be able to live that life out. And Lord, we know that that will be exciting when we see ourselves doing that which we couldn't do in our own strength as we depend upon You. In Jesus' name, amen.